House will come to order. Today is February 23, 2015. It's the 28th day of the session. A pending deadline in the future is this Friday, February the 27th, the last day for bills to be reported out of committee. Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Baldwin.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blackburn. Blackburn.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird. Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Clem.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Dayton.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Edwards.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Kasparik.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Larson Lloyd. Larson Lloyd. Larson Dan.
Here.
Lindholm.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Northrup.
Here.
Patton excused. Paxton.
Here.
Pelkey.
Here.
Petrov.
Here.
Piperinen.
Here.
Pinnell.
Here.
Reeder.
Here.
Schwartz.
Here.
Summers.
Here.
Steinmetz.
Here.
Stubson.
Here.
Throne.
Here.
Walters.
Here.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Here.
Swanitzer Dan.
Here.
Swanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Larson Lloyd. Larson Lloyd.
Excuse.
Larson Lloyd excused. 58 present, 2 excused.
The prayer for the day is offered by Father August Caney, representing St. Mary's Cathedral in Cheyenne.
First part of my prayer I'm taking from the Wyoming Guide to Historical Sites by the Wyoming Recreation Commission. Ezra Meeker, who traveled to Oregon by ox team in 1852 and retracted that route in 1906, estimated that 5,000 persons were buried along the Oregon Trail in the former year alone. Thousands more died during the great westward migration in the mid-19th century. But most of their graves are unmarked. An exception is that of A.H. Unthank. A 19-year-old Alva H. Unthank was a member of a party who left Newport, Indiana in March 1850, bound for the gold fields of California. In June of that year, he carved his name on the date at Registered Cliff, a landmark along the trail located near the present town of Guernsey. Less than a week later, the young man was dead from an illness. Let us pray. Lord, we ask you to bless all those who have died traveling through our state of Wyoming on the great westward migration of the mid-19th century. May this legislative body always pass laws that protect those who travel through our states. Lord, bless us in Wyoming with a true spirit of hospitality. Amen.
Thank you.
Representative Steinmetz.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Yes, please proceed.
Thank you. I would like to introduce from Torrington, Wyoming, Ms. Walsh's Trails Elementary fourth grade class in the back balcony. Please give them a warm welcome.
Welcome to the House. Journal Committee report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of Friday, February 20th, has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representative Schwartz and Steinmetz.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can I have privilege of the floor, please?
Yes, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to take the opportunity to introduce you to our junior page for the day, Finn Stubson. This is Finn's seventh consecutive session, and so any of you guys, if you need any pointers, just come talk to Finn. I'm sure he'll help you out. Finn is a seventh grader at Casper Classical Academy, and I'm really glad to have him down. If you'd please help him feel welcome.
Representative Chairman Lockhart.
Privilege of floor, Mr.
Yes,
Chairman.
Yes, please.
Finnegan spoke in the Minerals Committee this morning, and in summary, he said, that's pretty boring.
Representative Paxton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
Today we have a group of kids from Hannah and Medicine Bow, fifth graders, I guess, from Hannah, and fifth and sixth graders from Medicine Bow. Help me welcome them right up here.
Welcome to the House. The doctor of the day is Ann Miller, and she has asked me to announce that they'll be doing glasses adjustments beginning at 1 o'clock p.m. in the medical station. If that applies to anyone, why? There you go. Please welcome her to the House. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred Senate File 56, engrossed, Study on Management of Public Lands, respectfully reports same back to the House. With a recommendation that it do pass, those who voted aye, Representatives Kennedy, Edmonds, Gay, Kasparic, Larson, Lockhart, Summers, and Walters. One no vote, Representative Byrd, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred Senate File 138, engrossed, Small Business Innovation Research Matching Funds, respectfully report same back to the House. With a recommendation that it do pass, those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Gay, Kasparic, Larson, Lockhart, Somers, Walters, and one no vote, Representative Edmonds, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 115, engrossed, Discrimination, respectfully report same back to the House. With a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Dayton, Harvey, Larson, and Schwartz. Two no votes, Representatives Kasparic and Wilson, and one absent, Representative Edmonds, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman.
Re-referrals. Representative Kasparic.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Minerals Committee Number 9 would like to refer Senate File 56, engrossed, Study on Management of Public Lands, and Senate File 138, engrossed, Small Business Innovation Research Matching Funds. Your Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Senate File 56 engrossed and Senate File 138 engrossed are re-referred to Appropriations Committee Number 2. We're now at that business of request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. The first message for our consideration is message number 257 on House Bill 17, Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message 257 on House Bill 17 and ask for your aye vote. What the Senate did over there was on page 9, line 1, change 1 year to 3 years. They also made it clear with the comments at the bottom of page 1 of the concurrence request and page 2 that nothing in this civil order can transfer to criminal use for the defendant. So ask for your aye vote.
We're voting on the motion to concur
Mr.
with...
Mr. Speaker, if I may comment on this.
Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Greer, would you please comment on this?
Mr. Speaker, I would love to.
Thank you.
And I would also like the body to reject the concurrence. And let me explain why. Part of what the Senate did was absolutely fine. Part of it is so-so, and the other part I have real difficulty with. So if you, on page 9 of the bill, what this body did was say that if a protective order was put in place, that it would last for 3 months, okay, or unless the respondent, that's the person who's allegedly have committed the act, is charged or convicted of stalking or a sexual assault within that period. Now, that's a change from 1 year. That was in the original bill. We amended it to 3 months, and we added that language, or unless they're charged or convicted. Now, whether you agree with 3 months or 1 year, that's fine. Maybe it's somewhere in the middle. But here's my heartburn, is in these situations, we're talking about someone being accused of a sexual assault, of committing this. Now, we did a good job of putting in protections for that accused. But the fact of the matter is, what we are saying is if you're going to accuse somebody of this, okay, that this is a serious enough of a situation that a protective order should enter, and that fills that gap for protection for people. No problem with that. But the fact is we want to now say that we'll go ahead and continue this on for a year, and then it could go for another year. What we want to be able to do is say, wait a second. If the person actually did this, he, or she, I guess, should be charged by the county attorney. They ought to do their job. Within a year, they ought to be convicted. Now, remember, the standard of charging somebody is the county attorney believes there's some facts there. To keep that alive and moving forward is simply probable cause. So I think we need to take and vote no on the concurrence and go back and readdress that situation. I don't have a problem with the overall statute in the protection it provides. And I do think that this bill probably does, no, not probably, it does cover a bit of a gap. But this change that was done over on, in the other house is too much. And so I'd encourage a no vote on this. And all we're doing with a no vote is going back and hashing this out in conference committee. I just thinking if you're accused of this type of crime, charges ought to at least be brought. Or then there's a determination that it didn't happen. That's our system, right? Our system is you're innocent. We have protections that are all throughout our Constitution. We want to change this bill now and just run over top of that? Think about it. And I encourage you to vote no.
Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I urge the body to vote yes. We addressed this issue during the interim on the Joint Judiciary Committee, and we
passed on a third reading amendment some changes to what we worked so hard and long on, and I had urged the body to go back to what the Joint Judiciary Committee did. And what you'll see that the Senate did is that it added in a little bit of extra time. I mean, what the House had passed is something that a victim has absolutely no control over, which is the length of time that a prosecutor will take or does take to do their job, 3 months or a year, that the victim has absolutely no control over it. And what this bill does is it plugs a hole that we have in terms of getting these protection orders in our statutes and who can get them and when they can get them. And so this is an absolutely necessary piece of legislation. The one change that we did on the House side that, again, passed by a very narrow margin on the floor was limits the ability of a victim to have that protection order in place until the prosecution finishes their job. And the Senate just took care of that and gave some extra sidebars. So I would encourage the body to vote yes on concurrence.
Representative Cohn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for concurrence on message number 257. I think what the Senate did was put back in some discretion for circuit courts. They put back in the allow up to the year language. I think that's important. And as we had a big debate on this when it was here, courts have discretion, and every case is different, and every fact pattern is different. And because it extends up to a year, that doesn't mean a court's going to say a year in every case. A court could say a month. A court could say 6 months. A court could say 3 months. But I think it's important that the court has that sort of discretion. And once again, this is a separate and apart tool or vehicle than the criminal prosecution. This is a civil order that has criminal consequences, but it's a civil order based on the facts that are presented. So I think it's appropriate to have a year to allow the judge to order up to a year and to hear the fact pattern. And if it's a flimsy case that's not going to get prosecuted, the order won't get granted to begin with. But if the judge believes that it's something in the middle, then he or she can say 6 months, or he or she can say 3 months until this thing gets sorted out. So I think it's important to give the courts this discretion. Every fact pattern is different. Every case is different. And it shouldn't matter what happens with the criminal case if the court is presented with evidence in the civil case for the protection order. So I would urge concurrence. Thank you.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, right now we have the right to speedy trial, and that's 180 days. And so what we're doing is even extending the right for a speedy trial to 365 days in this particular instance. And so that's not quick justice, and that's not resolving the problem that we're confronted here. And if you go 3 months, and then you can come back in and you can reapply again within 3 months, and then your 180 days for a trial is there. So we're simply saying to the prosecutors, get your job done. If this person is guilty, then resolve the problem. If he's not guilty, then 6 months is plenty of time. Thank you.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I urge concurrence. The body needs to not be confused. This has absolutely nothing to do with speedy trial. Speedy trial is a constitutional right. The defendant decides whether that is waived or not, and it also doesn't kick in until after you're charged. So, it has absolutely nothing to do with speedy trial. And so, look at the bill. It's the Senate amendments, I think, represent a good compromise. It was vetted pretty thoroughly over the interim, and I would also urge you to consider the source of the amendments from our good colleagues on the other side. Certainly this is a nice middle approach, and I'd urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the chairman? Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wasn't going to speak again, but I think, you know, we had this same debate on this floor, civil versus criminal, and the fact of the matter is this may be a civil process, but it has criminal consequences with it. So we get back to this point. This body said 3 months. was enough time for an initial order, and if there was a problem, if the problem persisted, the person wasn't charged, the person was still on the street, that you could go back and extend it again. It wasn't just 3 months and you're out. It put the burden on, and this is what we're talking about, put the burden on the accuser to go into the court and continue the order. Plain and simple. So what we're going to do right now, and they say, and, you know, the good representative north of me said, you know, we're giving the judges discretion. Well, you know what the judges do in these situations? They take the safe route, because that's what I would do. And they're going to put that in there for a year. So all we're asking for is vote no on a concurrence. This go back, and we'll argue about this component regarding whether or not it should be 3 months, 6 months, or a year. But if someone's making those allegations, there needs to be something there. And that means that person that's being accused ought to be charged, in which case the order would continue under the language that we had in the House. Or that person needs to go back in, say the county attorney's not doing their job, but this is still what's going on, and let the judges determine. And you go back in and meet that standard. So all we're looking at is a balancing. Folks that are assaulted, this order, I think, is important and does protect them and was a hole in our system. But just because there's a hole in the system doesn't mean throw out everybody else's rights. I encourage you to vote no.
Representative Cohn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I wasn't going to speak again, but but my good colleague raised some points that I think need to be addressed. First of all, I think it's really difficult to put these victims in a situation where they have to come back every 3 months to present testimony, to present evidence, to present in the most serious egregious cases where you would have criminal charges filed. Under this proposal, or under the 3 month proposal, you're going to have these victims come back to court over and over and over again to have this order extended. This change, this concurrence, allows for that discretion for a judge to say in the most egregious cases, it's going to be 1 year and you don't have to come back until the end of that year. So in terms of process, I think that it's important that if the victim presents testimony in that initial hearing that's clear and compelling to the court, let the court decide. And this bill, this concurrence allows for that extra discretion. So I would urge an aye vote or a yes vote.
Anyone else that wasn't going to speak again? We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 17. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Allen. Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Gay. Greer,
no.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
no.
Kasparik,
no.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
no.
Larson Dan,
no.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz, Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Patton excused. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
No.
Pennell. Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gay, aye to no. Allen, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 27 aye, 32 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 17. The next message for our consideration is message number 272 on House Bill 27. Representative Kasparek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 27 is the NRC agreement state, and I would ask this body to concur with the changes the Senate made. What they did in one amendment was decrease the appropriation to hold back a little bit on the number of hires that would be hired by the department. And we feel that that's a workable issue. We'll be back in a year and can discuss whether or not more appropriation is needed for more hires at that time. And the second one just clarifies something that we felt we understood in the committee, but it just clarifies it. With this amendment, they just made sure that once the NRC agreement is stood up, that industry will be paying for the three positions that are currently in the department, will be paid for by industry. So with that, Mr. Speaker, I would move concurrence to message number 272 on House Bill 27. And urge your aye vote.
We're voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 27. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund. Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparek,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz, Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton excused, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff, Piperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 27. The next message for our consideration is message number 273 on House Bill 42. Chairman Zwanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message 273, House Bill 42. When I started in this body, the former corporation's chairman used to say, I have friends in favor of this concurrence and friends against this concurrence, and I would ask you to vote with my friends. And that would be one of these concurrences. And so let me just walk you back to this bill. It was an interim committee bill. The House Corporations Committee expanded the bill to what we believed was more business-friendly but somewhat less consumer-protective. And so what this amendment actually, the concurrence does is put it right back to the House committee position that came to this floor. It wasn't the interim committee position, and it wasn't what made it out of this body, but it was the original House committee position. What we chose to do, if you'll remember a month ago, we made the bill much more business-friendly, but really took out any kind of consumer protection. It was truly a buyer beware a type of bill regarding gift cards. So you would treat it exactly equal to cash, where if you lost your gift card, it would be just like losing, you know, a $100 bill. And so the Senate took it back to what the House Corporation Committee, which was kind of exciting, did before we expanded its purview on this floor. The big language they also put we have put a sunset clause, a repealer for 2019 in the bill, so we would be coming back to address it here in 4 years regardless. But I think you'll hear good testimony both for and against concurrence, and vote your conscience.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to ask the body to reject concurrence, specifically because we're talking about gift cards once again. And once again, gift cards somehow need to be collated by the state. How that is the state's responsibility is beyond me, and I'd like to find out why. I'd like to go to conference committee, and I'd like to figure out what is the Senate's reasoning that the state should collate these gift cards if you lose them. It is beyond me. It's just like money. We treat it just like money. If you drop a dollar bill or a $100 bill on the street, that's gone. The state doesn't collect that for you, and yet gift cards are different. So I'd like to find out why, and I'd urge your no vote on this concurrence.
Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So a couple of things that were just brought up in the last testimony. How is it the state's responsibility? Well, it currently is in statute, and the statutes are really unfriendly, both to businesses and consumers, in my opinion. So both of these improve it, but here is how the version, and so I'm urging your aye vote on the concurrence. Here is how the version is better that came out of the Senate. The version that came out of the Senate says that businesses are exempted completely from all unclaimed property as long as they do two things. They just have to not expire the gift certificate and not or card and not charge fees. So basically, you can choose as a business owner to honor it into infinity and to not charge fees, and you're exempt from all unclaimed property. And sorry, I'm getting Raz back here. And so what it would do if we said no and we went back to the House version, basically, if you found a gift card in your drawer that was 6 years old, no matter what the amount was, let's say it was a $500 gift card, that business could choose not to honor it, and there would be nothing you could do. And so what we're trying to do is have some small measure of consumer protection, which is to say, if you as a business choose to let those cards expire, then you're subject to unclaimed property. If you choose to not let them expire and not charge fees, then you're not subject to unclaimed property. So it's a nice balance. And you know, I'm presenting the business side of this. I mean, we think this is a business-friendly amendment because we want consumers to be protected as well, and we want to protect the reputation of our industry. Thank you.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would encourage you to vote against concurrence. And as a business owner, I honor gift cards as far back as we can trace them. But I think by putting the requirement that we have to honor them for infinity is a little bit intrusive, because there's going to come a point. What if 25 years goes by? Do I then have to dig up and figure out how much was on a gift card that was sold, you know, two decades ago? So I don't like the requirement that businesses have to make them not expire to not go through the unclaimed property. I think there's a balance in there. I mean, if you want to, you know, change the expiration to something a little bit more reasonable, I think there's a compromise that could be found here, and I think that can be worked in committee.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to go ahead and let the House know what this body passed. This body passed gift certificates, merchant store value cards, and credit memos are not subject to abandonment under this act. That was the belief of this body, that gift cards do not need to be stored by the state if you lose them. And I want to find out, I truly do, why the Senate believes that for some reasons and some exemptions, the state does need to be involved with a gift card. Because that is what we're talking about here, gift cards. So please vote no on this. Let's go to conference committee and let's figure this out. We're not gonna kill this bill. We're going in there so that this can go through, because this version is better than what is currently in statute. And we will work out a difference, and we will find out a way to make sure this statute is cleaned up. And I'd really like to know why the Senate believes the state needs to be involved with gift cards.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 42. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
No.
Greer.
No.
Halverson. Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Kasparik.
No.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Loy.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden. Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas. Northrup.
No.
Patton excused. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
No.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
No.
Pinnell.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 21 aye, 38 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 42. The next message for our consideration is message number 274 on House Bill 51. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence regarding message number 274. And having to do with House Bill 51, ladies and gentlemen, and all we had to do, all we did in this amendment over in the other side was take out the word compressors and put units in, because these vapor recovery apparatuses are not compressors or something else. So I would urge you to vote yes on this concurrence and call the question.
Discussion on the concurrence? Okay. We're voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 51. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Campbell, aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Clem,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm, Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton excused, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson, Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 51. The next message for our consideration is message number 275 on House Bill 154. Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message 275, House Bill 154, and I encourage your no vote. The version that came out of the Senate actually is more restrictive than what we passed in the House. It's more restrictive than what is currently happening, and so it would actually prohibit some of the some of the situations we have now where landowners are donating land for this to be used, and so we definitely don't want to take a step backwards and encourage your vote no.
We're voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments on House Bill 154. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
No.
Connolly. Dayton,
no.
Edmonds,
no.
Edwards,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Esquivel,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
no.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
no.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
no.
Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan,
no.
Lindholm,
no.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
no.
Patton excused, Paxton,
no.
Pelkey,
no.
Petroff,
no.
Pieperinen,
no.
Pennell,
no.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
no.
Summers,
no.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne, Walters,
no.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
no.
Swanitzer Dan,
no.
Swanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Connolly, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 10 aye, 49 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 154. We're now on that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 18. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 18 from Senator Case, an act relating to criminal procedure.
There is an amendment. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It is definitely a Monday, isn't it? Friends, I bring you second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 18 and would ask for your favorable vote. Essentially, this brings in some language on juvenile expungement previously considered by this body, and unfortunately, lost on the other side of the building. I'm trying to do this in a way that doesn't get somebody up to yell at me. But in any event, this is language that addresses all the concerns we heard about juvenile expungement, and I would be happy to answer any questions. It simply brings juveniles into this process. Thank you.
Discussion on the amendment. Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I was one of the co-sponsors on the expungement bill and was very much in favor of the juvenile expungement bill. So to the extent we can do this and get it through, I think it's probably a good thing. I just don't want to jeopardize the blue sheet with the pink sheet. Is all, and I think hold on to your chairs here. But I'm with the Madam Minority Floor Leader on this one, and wish her the best of luck.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in support of this amendment, bringing juveniles into the expungement process is important. We heard a lot of testimony in judiciary when we heard the juvenile expungement bill, and I just can't bear leaving these kids out with no process available to them, and I fully support your aye vote on this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their... Oh, Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I'm for the bill strongly, and I was strongly for the other bill also, but I'm not going to say vote yay or nay on this particular one. We'll let the body decide that. But we already passed this through the House, the juvenile part. It went over there. They, for some reason, didn't see our wisdom. I guess we can take another shot at them and see what happens, but there is a danger of losing the bill then. So I think I'm going to vote aye on it.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think it's fair to say we have a diverse group in support of this amendment. So with that, I will just urge your aye vote.
We're voting on second reading amendment number one, the House bill to Senate file 18. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number one to Senate file 18 has passed. Senate file 18 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate file 29. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate file 29 from the Transportation Committee, an act relating to motor vehicles.
Senate file 29 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 42. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 42 from the Revenue Committee, an act relating to the administration of government.
Senate File 42 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 62. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 62 from Senator Anderson, an act relating to health insurance.
Senate File 62 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please proceed.
Thank you. I would like to introduce to the House Ms. Orr's Trails Elementary fourth grade class visiting from Torrington, Wyoming. Please stand up to my left side of the gallery.
Welcome to the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 81. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 81 from Senator Johnson, an act relating to public health.
There is an amendment, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move second reading amendment number one to Senate File 81 and ask for your aye vote. As you will recall, this bill sets up a grant program through the state to help with what some localities are already doing, the wristbands that help you to locate folks that may have wandered and to do it quickly. And my concern all along with this bill, and we've seen this happen with other programs, is that a couple years down the road, we get to the point where people are saying, well, that's all good and well what the state's doing, but they're only doing, you know, this small $125,000 a year portion of it, and it's much more expensive than that. And you see this sort of grow periodically where the state has to shoulder more and more of these programs. And so what the amendment does is really just clarify and make express in the bill that these grants are for startup costs. And to do that, we've added two provisions. One is in the application, the local government has to provide an outline of resources available to support the ongoing program. And then at the bottom of page 3, we just make clear that the grant monies are only for startup costs associated with the purchase of these emergency response kits. And we heard testimony in committee from local law enforcement that these things do save money. It's much quicker to locate folks. You have to dedicate fewer resources to locating folks when these are used. And so we think it's a good thing. It's an efficient thing for local governments to do, but we just want to make clear that the state's purpose in this program is limited. So with that, I'd take questions, but I'd urge your aye vote.
Discussion on the amendment. Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I urge your no vote. This is a new program. The sponsor did mention that the two counties that have it right now are your largest two counties. They do have other resources. But I call your attention to Romanette I. The smaller counties can only apply for up to 25,000. So if you do get six of the smaller counties, to apply for these grants, and they do take up that whole $25,000, there's nothing left for the rest of the counties. Now, I'm not saying that a county's going to apply for a $25,000 grant, but when you start looking at these law enforcement going out, they're going to go and talk to people who they've probably already had to go find once before. And they're going to say, maybe your child or your grandfather's a good person to put on this program. And you got to have the law enforcement's ability to go out and recruit candidates that they think are good candidates for this program. And I don't want to handcuff them right up off the bat when it's a new program. So I urge you no vote.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would also urge your no vote. When you look at some of these smaller counties, that really don't have a robust population, there's still quite a few retirees and quite a population in the nursing homes. And prevalently in your smaller counties, that's probably going to be the people wearing these bands. Now, is there a cost, continued cost, with this Lifesaver program monthly? Yeah, absolutely there is. You're looking at battery replacement. You're looking at band replacement every 30 days. Those things cost money. And if we just say, well, we'll help you get started up, and then some of these counties, especially my own, it becomes undoable after your initial setup. Where will these funds come from? You know, and if it comes down to the point where this program is working great and the counties can cover it, let's revisit it in a year, and then we can cover it then. Just to jerk the rug out at this point seems a little shrewd, and I'd ask you to vote no on this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, urge a no vote on this amendment. Thanks.
Representative Burkhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A first for a second.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let me respond. First, let me highlight one other thing this does that I forgot to mention, and then respond to some of the comments made. The other thing this does is it strikes out section what is now G after it's a standing committee amendment on page 4, what was H, which just requires an education program from Homeland Security on the dangers of wandering. I think that local governments can handle that just fine without the state stepping in. But, you know, there was a comment, let's not pull the rug out from under these folks. And that's exactly what we're going to get into, is if we do not specifically say what the scope of this program is, it will become a state program. And let's be honest about it. That's exactly what we heard from the microphones is, no, let's not do that. We, you know, these small counties are going to need ongoing support. But why is that? If the testimony is that these
devices help save money. They help use local resources more efficiently. Let's help them get set up. Let's help them to buy the transmitters. Let's help them to buy the initial wristbands. Let's get the program going. But when they start to see that savings, then they can realize that savings in the ongoing funding of this program. If we don't do that, I guarantee you won't see a decreased request in savings from local government because of this program. What this does is it allows all the communities across the state to get in on the ground level and to figure out how it can be sustainable over the long term. So I'd appreciate your I vote. I think if an I vote means that this is truly a limited grant program and it won't become a state program, a no vote I think holds a danger that a few years down the road this will be an ongoing state program.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 81. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Chairs in doubt, all in favor, please stand. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 81 has passed. Senate file 81 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file 103. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate file 103 from Senator Scott, an act relating to the separation of bicycles and motor vehicle traffic on state highways and other roads.
There is an amendment. Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 103 and ask for your favorable consideration. We heard this on Friday. One of the concerns that we all had was regarding section 2, which began on page 5. And so what this amendment does is deletes all of Section 2, which is giving direction to the Department of Transportation and gives a lot of May language, which I don't think, one, is necessary, and two, is I don't want to give any stronger inference that they should be doing this particular activity. I'd like them to save their safety money and use it on Highway 59 myself. It also deletes on page 12, if you look, and it's a section E, which is that the state health officer shall provide the task force with a report on the probable health benefits to Wyoming residents of encouraging bicycling and pedestrian recreation, and on the ways in which these benefits can be attained. I think we have enough going on with healthcare right now that we probably don't need to worry about that particular issue. So I pulled that out as well. If we want to go ahead and get together and brainstorm on some bicycle tourism and some other ideas, that's probably fine with me. But I did want to clean this up, pull out this section 2 and then that other, what I would say, a superfluous report at this point in time. And I'll be quiet and ask for your aye vote.
Discussion on the amendment. Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge your rejection of this amendment. The vast majority of it I can understand. You know, we have a lot of things going on with health, with health policy and costs and stuff. And when you look on page where they're taking out the pathway structures and stuff like that, I understand that too, because I don't think that there's going to be a lot of pathways that we'd want to build, especially along our highways. But, you know, if you look on page 7 where it's, and hopefully I got this right, I didn't bring the announcement or the amendment, but in cooperation with local government units to designate bicycle routes, I think that that's safe, increases safety, and I think it increases the benefits for everybody. And the next one, number 5, design and construct short bicycle pathways to transfer bicycle traffic from highways to local bicycle pathways and stuff like that. You know, that's something I think that we should, you know, keep in the bill to where that that's kind of looked at. So I understand where some of the amendments coming, but I think that we're throwing away the baby with some of the bathwater.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm on and opposed to the first part of this amendment for sure, which refers to the Department of Transportation. This is a may, and it actually refers to existing authority of the Department of Transportation. I think it's appropriate for them to be looking at ways to make our roads safer, not only for bicycles, but for the cars and trucks that are on them as well. And that's basically what this section is talking about. It also refers to the fact that as they're looking at new construction, they should be considering this, and that actually will be a cost saver because down the road they are going to be considering bicycle vehicle interactions. Better to consider it sooner than later. The second part of the amendment I don't have a strong feeling about. It's a health report on the health benefits of riding a bicycle. I think we all know that. So I would actually propose a division separating lines 1 through 13 of the amendment is division 1. Oh, I'm being corrected here. It's 1 through, actually it's 3 parts in, excuse me.
No, so it would be, this is division 1.
Okay. My colleague from my home county has tried to send me down a more correct pathway. So the division would be, division 1 would be lines 5 through 13, and division 2 would be lines 1 through 4 and 16 through 26.
Well, Representative Schwartz, what did you do with lines 14 and 15?
Oh, that would be my error, Mr. Speaker. So division 1 would be lines 5 through 13. And then 1 through 4 and 14 through 26 in division 2. Thank you for the assistance to all concerned.
The chair rules that the amendment is divisible as moved. Division number 1 will be on the amendment. We're talking about second reading amendment number 1 to House or to Senate File 103. Division 1 will be lines 5 through 13. Division 2 will be lines 1 through 4 and lines 14 through 26. Representative Schwartz, which division did you want to proceed on first?
I would like to go with Division 1 first, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, we're on Division 1.
Point of order, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
I think you will also need to include 24 through 26 in Division 1, which is the rest of the renumbering.
Yep.
The chair agrees that that's a renumbering is what it amounts to. Okay, so to recap, Division 1 of Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 103 is lines 5 through 13 and lines 24 through 26. Division 2 is of the Second Reading Amendment is lines 14 through 23. And through 23 or 24. I can't have 24 in both divisions. Doesn't matter. It's a blank line.
Mr. Speaker, if I may.
Representative Schwartz.
But I also believe, did you say lines 1 through 4 as well, Division 2?
I did say lines 1 through 4. So, Representative Schwartz, assuming you still want to proceed on Division 1 first, Division 1 now is lines 5 through 13 and 24 through 26 on Second Reading Amendment Number 1. Is that how you wish to proceed?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Discussion on Division 1. Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in favor of Division 1, and I think, and actually in favor of both divisions, but this actually narrows down the bill to what we're really trying to get at, because all Section 2 says is the Department of Transportation may do what it already may do. And I think, really, when we're trying to direct them in a certain way, it's just better to cut that out. So I would actually urge your aye vote on Division 1.
Discussion on Division 1. Okay, question being called. We are voting on Division 1 of Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 103, which consists of, within Second Reading Amendment Number 1, lines 5 through 13 and lines 24 through 26. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Division 1 is passed. We're now on Division 2, Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm comfortable with Division 2.
Discussion on Division 2. Question being called. We're voting on Division 2 of Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 103, which consists of within Amendment 1, lines 1 through 4 and 14 through 23. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Division 2 is passed. The net result of which is Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 103 has passed. Senate File 103, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 106. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 106 from Senator Landon, an act relating to alcoholic beverages.
There are amendments which we will take in the order numbered, so we're on Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 106, Representative Greer.
Mr. Speaker, I will withdraw Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 106 and hold it to see how the next amendment does.
Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 106 has been withdrawn. We're on second reading, Amendment Number 2 to Senate File 106. Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading Amendment Number 2 to Senate File 106 and ask you just to consider it. The other day on Committee of the Hall, I noticed that I was thoughtful, I would say hesitant. I was thoughtful about which direction to go, as were many people around me. When I read this bill, I'm honestly of two minds. First is that alcohol is legal. Second, along those lines, it's legal and we don't have a problem right now with powdered alcohol, and this bill seems way too prohibitive. On the other hand, my little research into powdered alcohol, you know, to me, and I hope this isn't a specific name, but it's like Kool-Aid. You know, you mix it up and you get yourself a margarita or something like that. It's being marketed as fun and fruity. But on the other hand, it comes in 4x6 packets and it takes a minute to stir. I figure by tomorrow it will come in 1x3 packets and will take 10 seconds to stir. And so as a compromise, what this amendment does is it says for right now, all that's illegal is to sell it. That's it. So if you look on page 1, lines 13, 14, 15, where now we're saying it shall be unlawful for a person to use, offer for use, purchase, offer to purchase, sell, offer to sell, or possess powdered alcohol, the only one of those that's left is to sell it. Right? That keeps it out of Wyoming. Right? It keeps it out of the liquor stores. It keeps it out of the corner grocery stores. You can't sell it. All right. And then on the following page, because we're not making using it illegal anymore, we can get rid of all of the exceptions for use. So on page 2, beginning on line 17, we can just get rid of from that point on in the bill. And so my thought with this is that what we're doing is we're saying we don't particularly want powdered alcohol in Wyoming. We're not going to allow it for sale. But if you're quote unquote caught with it, right, that's not a crime. So somebody like me going to another state, and not only do I like buying things at farmers markets, I like going and buying things that I've never seen before, and I might bring home this. Right, I might bring home this. I don't have the biggest liquor cabinet in the world, and so I might bring home a powdered margarita because I don't have tequila. I mean, it doesn't make me a criminal. Right? If I need to be a criminal 5 years from now, maybe that would be okay. But for right now, let's just prohibit the sale, right, and not criminalize the possession or the use.
Representative Cohen, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've had a good conversation with my colleague from the county next to this county, and I've kind of gone back and forth on terms in terms of the purpose of the bill. But in thinking of it, I think I'm going to be against this amendment, and I'll tell you why. I really think that this is different than regular alcohol, and it's different than the restrictions and the prohibitions that we currently have in terms of age and sales and everything else. And I think that there's two factors that are really important. Number one, it's just difficult to tell how much of this is going into a person's system. And you could have potentials for severe intoxication as a result of this. It's so portable. It's so easy to take to places. So I really compare this more to a drug that would be that you could put in one of the schedules under our Controlled Substances Act than I do alcohol. And I think it's separate and apart from that. And I think we should treat it like that. I think we should treat it like a controlled substance that actually can cause great harm. And this has more potential to do that because it's portable. You can hide it easier. And if it's easily accessible, I think we're going to have a lot of problems. So I do appreciate the bringer of the amendment and the thought behind it, but I'm going to be a no on the amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Zwanzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Slightly in favor of the amendment, still against the bill in general because I don't share any of the concerns that were just expressed and just wanted to make sure the body has some information because I know you got an email this weekend as well that I thought didn't quite have all the facts. This is still a regulated product and can't be sold in grocery stores. It does have to go, if it were to ever be sold in Wyoming, go through a licensed liquor retailer or a special order through a license through the state liquor division. And I guess when you look at the pricing, you know, these are $8 or $9 when you can buy those $2 bottles of liqueur that are just as easy to transport or store and easy to get drunk on, much easier. Currently, what they say, it takes 4 to 5 minutes for one of these things to dissolve in water, and I do agree with the two speakers ago that maybe someday technology can make it instantaneous. But I still don't see these as any more of a threat or anything more nefarious than what, you know, you can buy in the marketplace now and you can sneak into places. The way you ingest this does not make it easy to overdose or to consume too much, at least any more than someone who wanted to, you know, spend 5 minutes each and make a bunch of these. But you could buy at the liquor store those little bottles for so much easier and hide them, I would argue, just as easy, if not easier, than powdered alcohol. And so at least the way the product is now, I don't see anything nefarious. But I do like this amendment and the fact that it is a work towards a compromise. It doesn't make people criminals just for having what should otherwise be a legalized product that at this time doesn't have any overly nefarious uses, more than, you know, spending $8 on a drink, which in Wyoming is a little nefarious in my opinion, because it's much cheaper in Wyoming than other places I go to. But yeah, it's still a regulated product. If this were to come into Wyoming, it would go through the Liquor Commission and only go to licensed retailers, liquor outlets that, you know, you have to not be a minor to get into. And so I just wanted to make sure the body was cognizant of those facts.
Representative Pinnell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge your no vote on this amendment. I think that that there's already a problem with alcohol abuse and lots of abuse in drugs also, but alcohol is the leading factor. For to say that we're not going to sell it and make that, I mean, that's a good idea, but it will come into the state, and it will present some serious problems, I believe. It'll give the avenue for the younger folks, even adults, to take it into places where they don't want you to mix or to have alcohol on the premises. So I just, and not only that, there's a lot of other states that are out there looking to pass this same type of law. So I would urge a no vote on the amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, and I have a question for those not supporting the amendment. The question is, can they keep your vehicle? Can they keep the money in your car if we don't pass this amendment?
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, and on and against the bill. Why do we need this bill in Wyoming? And I'd like to ask the bringer of the bill and the amendment to explain why we need it, because I haven't got it yet.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Conway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the last commentator asked a really good question. You know, why do we need this bill, and why do we need it to be, in my opinion, so draconian? And so again, the amendment is a compromise. Then the compromise is regarding sale. And I ask you to consider whether or not we want to go forward with criminalizing everyone who's walking down the street who might have bought a packet of this somewhere, or do we want to just limit it? Because in all honesty, you know, it does look like alcohol that, in my mind, that's targeted to kids. All right, so on and in favor of the amendment.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 106. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 2 is passed. Senate File 106, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 137. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 137 from Senator Meyer, an act relating to motor vehicle registration.
Senate File 137, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. We're now at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 12. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 12 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to crimes and offenses, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
There are amendments which we'll consider in the order numbered. The first amendment for our consideration then will be third reading amendment number 1 on Senate File 12, Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring you Senate amendment. I would move Senate File 12, Amendment Number 1, for third reading. And, folks, this is very similar to an amendment that has kind of come and gone. And this is after going through the second reading amendments, I worked together with the good representative from the western part of the state and walked through exactly, I think, a compromise and putting in the language as we kind of agree to. If you have the engrossed version in front of you, that's probably the easiest way to understand this amendment. Basically, on page 2, it takes on line 1, it takes out or crosses private. Then on line 7, you take out cross and then insert access. So in essence, then you just walk that concept through the bill. And we did that for several different reasons. I think it just makes the bill more crisp on exactly what we're trying to identify. It also makes it more enforceable. Because when you cross so many different types of properties going to and from to commit an act, I think it kind of makes the bill unenforceable. And so this ties up and addresses that problem. Then the other major change that it does, it adds at page 3 a definition of what collect means. And you'll see a third reading amendment number 3 modifying that, which I really don't have any problem with. We just didn't kind of get it on all fours by the time this amendment came out. But basically, it defines collect similar to the language we saw back in the first reading amendments. It says that a sample of material acquires, gathered, photographs, or otherwise preserves information in any form from private open land, which is submitted or intended to be submitted to any agency of the state or federal government to challenge compliance with federal or state laws or to otherwise affect the legal rights of the landowner. Basically, we're just clarifying and specifying exactly what act one has to commit in order to be guilty of trespassing to collect data. And with that, unless you have any questions, I would call for your favorable aye vote.
Discussion on the amendment, Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in support of this amendment, what it does is establishes that the authorized crossing of private property, private land, is directly related to accessing the land where the resource data is gathered. So the bringer of the amendment, number one bringer, is correct. This does tighten up a lot of things, and I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion on the amendment. Question being called. We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 12. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 12 has passed. We're now on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 12. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And this is even a much simpler amendment. Folks, if you look at the amendment, This adds another section that defines what an affirmative defense is. An affirmative defense means that when you go to court, then so when you go to court here and you're being prosecuted, that if you can demonstrate that you reasonably believe that you have authorization or permission to be on the property that you're on, then that's a defense against a violation of this act. And once again, if you remember the original discussions we had on this, part of the problem, and I brought an amendment to make it a specific intent crime versus a general intent crime, that failed. And the reason I brought that amendment was because you could actually be someplace where you think you have a right to and you think you own the property, and that's not a valid defense under the way the bill was crafted. So what this does is say, if you can go in front of the judge and say, look, judge, I honestly thought I owned that property, I thought that this was Uncle Charlie owned it. He told me I could go up and take some pictures of wildlife, and that's all I was doing. And so it protects that instance. But you know, if you're going on in order to do any act that's consistent with what we just defined in terms of collecting data, obviously there's no defense to it. And so I think it takes care of the issue of the innocent bystander who may be on the property versus someone who's actually going out there and intentionally trying to obtain data against our property rights. So I would request your support.
Discussion on the amendment, Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and strongly against this amendment. What this does is it undermines the intent of the underlying bill, in which we put the burden of proof on the trespasser. This removes it and shifts the burden back to the landowner, the sheriff's deputy who is investigating the trespass, and the prosecutor who might want to trespass. Leave our intention in the original draft where the burden is on the trespasser, and I strongly urge your no vote on this amendment.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment for the bill. I could be reasonably believe that I'm not speeding, too, and I'm still speeding. So if I reasonably believe I'm not trespassing, I'm still trespassing. It's my responsibility to know whose property I'm on. Thank you.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I'm on and against the amendment and for the bill. And it kind of goes back to, you know, well, I, as a landowner, I give permission to Fred and his family, these kids, to go fish, and then Fred tells his cousin that I'd gave permission for his family to come, and so the cousin comes and does a nefarious business on my property, and I just think that reasonably believed is it's just too loose.
Representative Lindholm, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, it's important to remember that this bill is about trespassing to collect data. So you're talking about minerals, water, those types of things. If somebody's on your property and they're trespassing and they're gathering up in order to be against this offense or actually violating this offense, they actually have to be collecting something. This just leaves a hole for these type of people to try and climb out of. On and against.
Representative Pinnell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm on and against this amendment also. I believe that if the individual is taken to court on the original bill, they'll still have their chance to give their side of the story in court. So I would be against this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Nicholas, do you have anything else you want to say? Okay, question being called. We're voting on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 12. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 12 has failed. We're now on third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 12. Representative Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would urge you to vote, I'd like to move Senate File 12, third reading, amendment number 3. And I would urge your yes vote. What we're trying to do here is tighten it up just a little bit more. And as the speaker from this area alluded to when he brought amendment number 1, he favors this amendment. But what it would do is on line 8 of this amendment, it would put a semicolon after government. So it would delete the two lines following that in the bill. And so it would remove the word private so that it doesn't have too many exclusions in it. So I would stand for questions, and I would urge your aye vote.
Discussion on the amendment, Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, because I think it goes back to the concerns we had with the amendment that we voted down the other day, and that is this limits it. So now it's only illegal to collect data if you're specifically giving it to an agency of the state or federal government. And my concern is, what about the guy that's going to get data because he wants to give it to some environmental group that's going to bring a lawsuit against the landowner? And that was covered by saying to otherwise affect the legal rights of the landowner. So I think this makes it a lot less protective for landowners than the amendment that we just passed. So I would encourage you to vote against this amendment.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of the amendment, and I urge your aye vote. This amendment deletes private to so that all open land can be incorporated into the bill and submitted to any agency of state or federal government is all that we need in there in order to prevent this resource data, our property, from being stored, used in any regulatory or administrative way. And I urge your aye vote.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. More of a question on the amendment. From open land, can someone just talk to me a little bit legally about why I can be charged with this crime for being on public land, even if someone has a lease of some sort? Or I'm just not really sure how that works out in law, whether I, for some reason, have no right to be on public land.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Excuse me. I think the answer to that would be if you collect the data on federal land, but you have crossed private land in the process, you would still be charged under this offense. So it's a matter that you crossed private land in violation. So you've already trespassed, regardless of whether the collection is on a private land or federal land. At least that's my understanding. And so I think the question is, the trespass has occurred to collect data, and so I would urge you to vote for this amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time? Seeing none, and sensing you're ready to vote, we're voting, thank you, we're voting on third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 12. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
I knew it. The chair is in doubt. Would all those in favor please stand? All opposed, please stand. Third reading amendment number 3 to Senate file 12 has failed. Senate file 12, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson. Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkby.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton excused. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
No.
Petroff. Piperinen.
Aye.
Pennell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 49 aye, 10 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 12, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 12 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 33. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 33 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to elections, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File number 33. And what this amendment does is it does extract from the Senate file a lot of the language that deals with the duties of the county clerk and functioning in their historic duty to notify and certify individuals who have been elected by their peers at a grassroots position. I appreciate what the bill's trying to do, but instead of moderate changes, it moves in a rather sweeping way that works against our long-standing system. And so now, rather than asking you to vote against the entire bill, I brought this amendment because there's one good feature within the bill that I would like to preserve and believe it will help our historic system, and that is the extension of the time frame from within just a few days of the primary election to the month of January when the rest of the elected positions in the state began. So I want to preserve that feature, and I believe it's good. Some of the complaining that brought this bill about was that they had to work very, very hard within just a few days' time frame, the county clerks did, to try to notify individuals that they have been written in by their peers. And so understanding that challenge, this bill tries to address that with a time frame change. But on the other hand, what it could do, unless amended, is it creates great potential for strife and difficulty and opportunity for challenges and problems within the county party system. And so that's what I move to strike with this particular amendment and still leave, though, the change in the time frame. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I'll stand for questions.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd ask this body to resist this amendment. This is something that was worked on the interim with the Corporations Committee and, along with county clerks. It has been a burdensome effort for them in the last long while in order to collate all these votes for precinct men and women. And it's my belief the language as it exists now, especially if you turn to page 3, line item D, or subparagraph D, starting on line 6, not later than 45 days after the date of the primary election, the county canvassing board or canvassing board appointed by the county clerk consisting of 2 electors and county clerk. You're still going to have a county clerk and 2 electors certifying these results for precinct men and women. And you're giving them 45 days. I would ask you to push back against this amendment. This bill is something that was worked on pretty hard by these folks.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Swanser, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think it's a problem there on the bottom of page 2. We're deleting lines 5 through 23. And on lines 21 through 23, it says the term of office shall begin on the day the primary election is canvassed and shall expire, which would indicate to me that term of office for precinct committee people goes back to being the day of canvass certification of the primary. But later on in the bill, we say that the term doesn't start until the first Monday in January. And I think taking out lines 18 through 20 is okay, depending on the will of the body. But I think we have an inconsistency with lines 21 through 23, and we're saying the primary committee people or the committee people start at two different times now in the bill. But maybe the bringer of the amendment could address that. I didn't catch that when he came and talked to me earlier, but I just caught it now as I'm tracking through the amendment, and I have a small concern on that.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the comments that have been brought. And when you look there at page 2 and on to page 3, that particular section, the reason why all of that is being stricken is that it will still be, of course, in code as it has been historically. We're simply just trying to move the date to when people would become members of the new committee. We're moving that date to the month of January. And so as far as the issue that that this has been looked at thoroughly, I know that it was brought in the month of June. It wasn't part of the interim topic, but it was brought in the month of June and then looked to get at again briefly in the month of September, somewhere September through November, somewhere in there. But these are sweeping changes to our historic system, and I think that they could utilize a little bit more scrutiny. I do like the idea of moving the time frame, but of striking the duties of the county clerk for which they are paid, striking those duties is something that would not be profitable, I think, at this point.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 33. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 33 has failed. Senate File 33 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin. Farlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn. Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey. Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
no.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
no.
Patton excused, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen.
No.
Pennell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 8 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 33, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House. Senate File 33 has passed the House. We're now at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole to consider the following bills. Senate File 84, 59, 43, 54, 17, 65, 97, 111, 120, 82, 93, 24, 27, 30, 45, 119, 73, 75, 101, 58, 92, 44, 52, and Senate File Resolution 4.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Representative Jennings.
Committee of the Whole, please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 84. Now the reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 84 from Senator Van Flattern, an act relating to geologic sequestration, providing a voluntary procedure for certification of quantities of carbon dioxide incidentally stored through enhanced recovery of oil and gas and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 84, Enhanced Recovery Carbon Dioxide Certification, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Edmonds, Gay, Kasperic, Larson, Lockhart, and Walters, one excused, Representative Summers, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Representative Chairman Lockhart?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 84 do pass. There is a standing committee amendment. I'd like to turn the explanation of the Senate file and its amendment over to the good representative from our capital city and have him convince you it's great on both counts.
Senator Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move standing committee amendment number 1 to Senate File 84 and urge an aye vote on it. Basically what it is just a cleanup of some language that needs to go into the bill, and I would stand for questions.
You have heard the motion on the standing committee amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Standing committee number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen of the 63rd, I bring you Senate File 84. This is a short bill that deals with carbon sequestration. Last week, last Friday, I put a couple handouts in your box. Hopefully there's still some place where you can find them. If I'll give you a little bit to I'll give you a little bit to find those so you can kind of follow around, follow me. One of those is a diagram that has a picture of a well on it and EOR, CO2 flooding. In the interest of full disclosure, I ran across a technology paper from that university where they have the big, huge cow with the longhorns on it, written by somebody named Zai Jin. So just for sake of clarity, he has a diagram in one of his presentations that looks very close to the one that I'm going to use. I do not want to get into some sort of battle about who's owning intellectual material. If we go to the first one that says EOR by CO2 flooding, basically what that is, and real quickly, I'd like to stand up here and give you the full science on this, Phil, because I'm feeling like that guy on TV whose name is Bill and his last name rhymes with I and he goes by the science guy, but we'll dispense with that but this is cool stuff for me anyway. CO2, which is gathered and it's injected, you see that it's injected down into the formation and it forms into kind of a bubble, and it is actually used to push the oil back towards a production well. Now, in the process of pumping that CO2 down there, it does displace existing fluids and existing oil. So if you take and set that to the side, I have this great little handy piece of work that I drew up myself, and hopefully I'll get an A for my art. On one side of it, it says the state of Wyoming. It's actually labeled handout number 2, if you can find that. On one side of it says state of Wyoming. On the other side, it says federal government. Underneath state of Wyoming, the WOGC stands for Wyoming Oil and Gas Commission. Underneath that says class 2. That's very important to understand right now because production injection wells are considered class 2. We have primacy. We regulate those, and we administer those in the state of Wyoming. We go to the other side of that little dotted line. We see the federal government and that other organization that begins with E, and underneath that is class 6. That's very important to know because class 6 wells are designed for sequestration, basically holding CO2 in permanent storage. Now, the reason we're bringing this bill is strictly to define regulation and give rulemaking authority to the WOGC underneath the state of Wyoming for incidental sequestration of CO2 during the process of oil recovery. Because if you go down to the middle of this page with my handy little drawing on there, that's supposed to be a piece of shale rock, and those are supposed to be pores. Little holes. So here's the way this works. If we were to, let's say, for example, now, those of you who understand the process in detail, please don't crucify me because these are just for discussion. If we pumped 200 MCF, meaning million cubic feet, of CO2 into the formation to stimulate the EOR, we would get out the other side, we would get oil and gas, but during the process, we may get or lose as much as 100 MCF for incidental storage during production. What we are saying here, as long as this is for production, we are producing oil and gas out of this. This is a class 2 well, and the rules should be promulgated and administered through the Oil and Gas Commission, not the EPA. That's basically all this bill says. I know I did a long explanation, but it's important to understand why we are doing this and what the purpose is, to keep the regulation inside the state where we have primacy. So if you grab your bill, and we will go to page 2 of the bill, which is the heart and soul of the bill, line 4, where it says, incidentally stored carbon dioxide may enter an order recognizing incidental storage carbon location carbon dioxide through the enhanced recovery operation. That's it in a nutshell. I stand for questions. I would recommend an aye vote on this, please. Thank you.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My good colleague from Laramie County explained the technical aspects of the bill. I just want to remind the body, for those of you who've been here for a while, this is really in many ways a continuation of the work we started on carbon sequestration in 2007-2008. Without getting into the weeds of the underground injection control program, we have always had sort of a little bit of tension between the Class 2 wells that are part of the OGCC process and the Class 6 wells that are part of the DEQ process. And this just, continues clarification between those two agencies in these circumstances. And I think with the standing committee amendment, the cooperation between the OGCC and DEQ in terms of developing rulemaking will really make the process work. And again, I think it's really just a continuation of work we started in, I guess it was 2008, somewhere in, back in the dark ages of my legislative career.
Representative Barla.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want some clarification because there was a lot of work done on this issue and specifically around the issue of pore space and that actually being a property right. So what my inquiry is whether this has any implications to current statute regarding the property right associated with pore space. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In response to that question about pore space, no, it does not affect the property right that we did assign pore space. It only affects the CO2, and it's used the purposes for rulemaking so that the CO2 content of the formation can be metered and can be kept and accounted for in the event that somewhere down the road that the CO2 that is incidentally sequestered inside this formation is required to be accounted for by agencies either in the state or the federal government at some time.
Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I would like to provide notice of conflict on this bill. But secondly, speaking in favor of it, the one thing I think that is useful, one of the things that's useful about this bill is similar to what we did on fracking, where you had this space and the state came in and provided guidelines and really has served as a basis to push back as the federal government has made repeated efforts to try to regulate fracking in the state. We could say, no, we've got it covered. I think this is a sort of similar approach where you already have noises on the federal level through our agencies at that level to step in and form their own ways of measuring how much CO2 is injected, how much is sequestered and retained in the formation in this EOR activity. And this gets us ahead of that curve and allows the state of Wyoming to set forth the process and the steps to show how that's going to be accounted for. So I think that is a good step that this bill does take.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate the information given. Does this bill have anything to do with the regulations of carbon recapture as it comes out of the wells, or is this just strictly pumping it in the ground? Are they related in any way?
Representative Byrd.
Mr. Chairman, yes, there is a relationship. There is no authority at this particular time. The relationship is the certification of the amount of CO2 that is incidentally sequestered in the process, so that at a future time, if there were regulations or rules promulgated, the certification of the amount of CO2 could be verifiably used in determining an outcome.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 80, SF 84, do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? No. Senate File 84 has passed the Committee of the Whole.
Mr. Chairman?
Madam Majority Floor Leader.
I move that the Committee of the Whole begs leave to rise and sit again until 2 p.m.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We'll call for committee announcements next. Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number one will meet in 10 minutes in room H8 to consider the following bills, Senate File 11 and Senate File 100.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee number two will meet in 5 minutes in House Bill 204 to review Senate amendments to Senate File 1, and then we will have a report back later today for the entire body. Also, Mr. Chairman, your conference committee number one on House Bill 73 will meet in S13 tomorrow upon noon recess. Thank you.
Chairman, Vice Chairman Kirkbright.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee number seven, Corporations, will meet in about 5 minutes in room 302 to consider three bills, Senate File 142, Building Code Regulation, Senate File 47, City Engineers, Duty to Estimate Project Cost, and if time permits, Senate File 132, the Wyoming Fair Housing Act.
Chairman Dave Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number one, conference committee number one to House Bill 22, Disabled License Plates, will meet tomorrow at lunchtime up in the House Transportation Committee, H17.
Vice Chairman Northrop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number four, Education, will meet tonight upon adjournment in room H10. We're going to finish up Senate File 8, and if we have time, we'll look at Senate File 74. Thank you.
Chairman Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee, Labor number 10, will meet this afternoon immediately after adjournment in H17 to consider Senate File 90, Medicaid Chiropractor Services, and Senate File 145, Hospital Uncompensated Care, Senate File 88, Emergency Care, Stroke, and Acute Heart Attack Patients.
Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number five, Agriculture, State and Public Lands, and Water Resources, will meet at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. Yes, 7 a.m. to consider the following bills. Senate File 80, Senate File 80, Trespassing to Collect Data, Civil Cause of Action, Senate File 126, Water Quality, Senate File 9, Right to Farm. And just a reminder for all committee members, make sure you have your calendars filled out.
The Committee of the Whole will rise and sit again at 2 p.m.